we're starting a brand new message series. So this morning is kind of the beginning of the movie, if we could call it that. Our message series is titled The Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God, which may sound kind of lame at first. That we're doing a message series. Couldn't you come up with anything more creative in the title than the Kingdom of God? But as I'm going to show you in a few moments, this topic of the Kingdom of God was massively important to Jesus, and is often completely missed in the church, big church today. In fact, the Kingdom of God, that phrase, comes up 126 times in just the four Gospels that tell the story of the life of Jesus. 126 times. Jesus was constantly talking about the Kingdom of God, using that phrase, the Kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at this today. But before we get into that, I want us to take a moment and I want us to pray together. And so will you stand with me all over this place and let's invite God into these next few moments. And so, God, we come to you today expectant. We come to you today, God, longing for more. Help us, God, to open our hearts to you today. And God, we just pray that you speak so loud and clear through your very word, through me. God, we want your words and your love to just be transparent and evident in this place. And so, God, we just pray for that and ask for you to move. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. All right, elbow somebody nice and hard next to you. Ah, there we go. And have a seat. Man. Well, I want to start with a question. And it may seem like a simple question for those of us who like grew up going to church and you've gone to church for a long time, but like it's this massively important question, and I have a feeling that a lot of us are going to get this question wrong. And so let's start with this. The question is, what is the gospel or the good news that Jesus came to preach? Think about that for just a moment. What is the good news that Jesus came to preach? The word gospel, just straight translated as good news, as you can use that interchangeably. And gospel, of course, is a very important word in the Christian world. We even say things like gospel music and gospel literature or things like that. But if Jesus was here today with us this morning in a physical way, like as a human, and he would say to us, I want to tell you the good news, what would he say? All right, got that question going on in your mind, and here's the tension in this. If I was to go around the room and I was begin to ask individual people, almost all of us in this place would get this answer wrong. All right, let me show you this. Quickly, I want to go through a number of passages of Scripture to kind of set up today and the rest of this series. Let's start with Mark chapter 1. This is verse 14. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And let's find out what the good news is. Verse 15, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Luke chapter 8, okay, verse 1, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. See that? All right. And then in the next chapter, Jesus sends out his disciples. He gives them very specific instructions. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 9. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples, gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Okay, verse 2. Then he sent them out to tell everybody about the kingdom of God. All right. Then after Jesus is crucified, after Jesus raises from the dead, he appears for 40 days. Period. He begins to talk to all sorts of his followers. He spends time teaching his disciples about one very specific thing. Let me show you this. Acts chapter 1. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And then in the very last chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus is no longer in the picture here. He's no longer on earth. And the disciples and the followers of Jesus are spreading the good news. And this verse specifically is about the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 28. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go on and on and on. We could spend all day, all morning here, 126 times if we really wanted to. In the four books of the Bible, talk about Jesus alone. Like, think about this. If we were going to use one phrase to describe the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what do you think that one phrase would be? The kingdom of God. Now, as you when you walked in here before, when you walked in before we just went through all of this, and I would have asked you that same question, very, very few of us would have answered it in that way. Am I correct? But the good news of Jesus, like, it seems to be surrounded by this thing called the kingdom of God. And if we were to expand that, the good news of Jesus really is simply this. The kingdom of God has in some way now become uniquely and newly available for ordinary human beings to live in. And it is here right now, and you can walk into that if you want to. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about what the kingdom of God is and what that means, but I need you to understand something kind of just to build a little tension at the beginning here. Understand that thousands of churches and millions of Christians in our day really are misdefining the gospel. The central piece of what it means to be a Christian is being misdiagnosed, misdefined, and misrepresented all the time. And in misdefining the gospel, we have in a way cheapened it. In fact, we don't really say it this way, but many Christians simply believe that the gospel means here are the minimal entrance requirements for you to get into heaven when you die. The minimum amount of stuff you have to believe so that when you die, they have to, in a way, let you into heaven. But here's the problem. Where in the world does the Bible, like, ever have Jesus saying anything like that? It's just not there. What he says is the kingdom of God has been made available for anybody who wants it. So in a way, review your plans for living and rearrange your life around this extraordinary offer. Okay? Now, of course, the good news of Jesus includes forgiveness of sin. Of course, it includes the promise that death will not have the last word and that eternal life and all of, like, the grace and all of that. But understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so much more than that. That is like the very beginning of everything, the beginning of it all. And there is so much more to this. But so many Christians believe that Jesus just came to earth to simply die on the cross. But his death on the cross was like just one part of his mission. Jesus' overall mission was to be the kingdom bringer and the kingdom bearer. And we're going to talk about what this means, okay? Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking to this crowd of people, famous portion of scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. Few thousand people in a crowd. Jesus up on the side of this hill speaking down to them, and the disciples kind of write down what Jesus said. It's three chapters long, lengthy thing, but he brings up the kingdom of God multiple times in this. Let me show you one of them. Matthew chapter 6, it says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." And then verse 33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Like, don't live your life saying, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? You could even say things like, How am I going to make money? How big of a house can I afford? Okay, the list goes on and on and on. Don't worry about all of this stuff, Jesus is saying. Like the people who don't believe in God and the people who are just living for themselves, they run to all of those things. But God knows what you need. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first. Above everything else, seek it more than anything else, and his righteousness and all these things will be added and given to you. Okay, we have hammered this to death about the kingdom of God as we've started, but don't miss this right here. Jesus' gospel was the availability of the kingdom of God. His purpose was to model the reality of the kingdom of God now on earth. His command was for us to seek the kingdom of God. His plan is for Christians to extend the kingdom of God. Yet, listen to this, millions of people who call themselves Christians could simply not tell you what the kingdom of God is. So I thought that maybe at the last Sunday of September 2020, it would be a good idea for us to take a few minutes and talk about what the kingdom of God is. Does that sound like a good idea? Nod your head if you agree with me. Okay, wow, like half of us, that's pretty good. Okay, we like that, that's good. All right. Now, part of the problem for you and I in understanding the kingdom of God is that, like, we have never really experienced a king or a kingdom where we live. You've seen it on TV, but we've never lived this. And so let's start with that question. What exactly is a kingdom? Well, super simplified and defined, a kingdom is simply a territory ruled by a king or a queen, okay? Yeah, you got it. You could have came up with that all by yourself, okay? So the kingdom of God would be the territory that is ruled by God. But question, wouldn't everything be in the territory that is ruled by God, right? Like, the answer to that would be kind of. Let me explain. Like, of course, God is the creator of everything. He is all-powerful. He's king and lord of all creation, reigning on high. All of that stuff is true. But in creating humanity, check this out, God created individual kingdoms in you and in me. All right, let's talk this out a little bit. Every one of us has a kingdom, as the Bible kind of defines that word kingdom. Your kingdom is that little sphere in which what you say goes, okay? Where what you want to have happen happens. What one scholar said it in a confusing way, I don't even know why I'm saying this to you, but your kingdom is the range of your effective will. Yeah, that sounds scholarly a little bit, okay? And we see from the very beginning, from creation, let me show you this in the book of Genesis. We see this in God making man. Genesis chapter 1, very beginning of the Bible. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Okay? Check that out. God made us in his image. What does that mean? We'll talk through that a little bit. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock of the earth." Okay? You were created in the image of God. And then the verse uses the word dominion. Now, we don't often use the word dominion anymore, but this is kingdom language, is what that is. And understand, you and I learn from a very young age that we have our own little kingdom, even though you don't think about it that way. In fact, what is the first word, or what is the most popular word that a two-year-old uses? I was going to say no first and mine second, but we can interchange those all you want, right? Whether you are, okay, first word, either mine or no, and second word, either mine or no. You're with me on that, all right? Like, this is not a bad thing. You were made to have your own little kingdom. It's a part of what it means to be a person. It's a part of who you were made to be. But the issue is that all of our little kingdoms are kind of junked up by sin. And then we get together, by the way, and we make other kingdoms. You coming here right now, in a way, is a kingdom. To church, when you go to school, you have the school kind of a kingdom. The place you work, your city, your neighborhood, America, these are all, in a way, as the Bible would define them, different little kingdoms. These are economic, political, cultural kingdoms. And we call all of these kingdoms your family, your neighborhood, your school, your city, your nation. If we wanted to use the words of the Bible, we would call them the kingdoms of the earth. Okay? Write that phrase down. That's important. The kingdom of the earth. And all of that brings us back to Jesus and what he says, because Jesus now shows up to these kingdoms of the earth, all of these individual people kingdoms, all of these city kingdoms, all of this, and he shows up and he says, I'm bringing you the good news, and here's the good news. There's another domain here. There's something else here. It's spiritual. It's real. The kingdom of God is near. And Jesus talks then about the kingdom of God. So let's think that through now that we've kind of defined kingdom. The kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will, where God's will is being done and accomplished, like where everything is just the way that God wants it to be. And that is the kingdom of God, and it's real and it's possible. And this is why Jesus spends more time talking about the kingdom of God than anything else. Now, imagine with me for just a moment a society in which there is no pride, no arrogance, no big shots, just this spirit of humility and servanthood. Imagine a society where people are constantly on the lookout for those who feel lonely or rejected, and they're now included and celebrated and loved. Imagine a society where nobody does anything petty or like small-minded. There's no gossip, there's no fear, there's no harsh, hurtful words. It's this perfect place, this perfect situation, and in control and watching over all of it is God, who is like a God who is endlessly celebrated for his infinite love. Jesus says the kingdom of God, like, it's real and it exists right now. But what I just described is not necessarily what you and I feel as we live here on earth, is it? Like, far from it. Because the kingdom of earth is marked by sin. It's junked up by sin. In fact, quick question, how are things going on the kingdom of earth right now? How are things going? I mean, just turn on the news for a moment and you get a picture. The kingdom of earth is a train wreck of a place, filled with selfishness and greed all the time, filled with hate, filled with messed up political systems and centuries of racial division that remain unhealed. The kingdom of earth is filled with hunger and sickness, thousands of little children dying in our world every single day who do not need to. That is the kingdom of earth. And the message of Jesus, like, understand, it's more than just I'm coming to die for your sins. The message of Jesus is I'm going to bring the kingdom of God, like, down to the kingdom of earth. And we see this in actually the most famous prayer of Jesus. And many of us grew up saying this prayer. Many of us can still recite this prayer. Of course, I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer. Side note here, I was listening to something this week and they told a funny story about the Lord's Prayer. And I want to share it with you. The guy who was telling the story, he's like, I don't even know if this is true, but it doesn't matter, okay, because it's that good. The story is about the 1985 Chicago Bears, who are famous in football history as being like this amazing team. Mike Ditka was the coach, and Walter Payton, maybe you've heard these names. And Jim McMahon was their quarterback. And they had this massive guy. His name was William Perry. They called him the refrigerator. That was his nickname, okay? Even if you don't care about football, imagine a guy named the fridge, and you've got a picture of this guy. Well, the story says that a chaplain was like speaking to the team before a game, And the chaplain just said, hey, I think we should end by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Would someone like to lead us in that? And Mike Ditka, the head coach, said, hey, you know, refrigerator, why don't you do it? Okay? And then Jim McMahon, who's the quarterback, bursts out laughing and says, there is no way in the world that Refrigerator Perry knows how to say the Lord's Prayer. In fact, and Jim McMahon then turns to the chaplain and says, if he knows the Lord's Prayer, I will give you $50 right now. The chaplain's like, deal. Okay, Refrigerator Perry bows his head and says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the soul of my Lord to keep. All right, I said that wrong, but okay. And Jim McMahon then, he goes, he takes $50 out of his wallet and hands it to the chaplain and says, I didn't think he knew it. Okay. Oh, I love that. All right. I don't know if that's true or not, but it should be if it's not. Okay, back to the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to kind of begin the stage to set up next week, really. Jesus is teaching his followers to pray. And he teaches them to pray like this. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you hear the language there? These are the words of Jesus, something that you have probably said a bazillion times in your life, over and over and over, okay? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught his followers to pray for the kingdom of God to come down to the kingdom of earth. See, so many Christians right now think that their job as a Christian is primarily to get their afterlife destination taken care of. But I'm telling you, that shrinks the magnitude of what Jesus came to do. Jesus said, hey, pray to the Father, okay, that the kingdom of God comes down here. Now, can you imagine in Sauk Center, Minnesota, if what was up there came down here? Can you imagine if Melrose and Long Prairie, if the kingdom of God came down? Like, do we believe that that could actually happen? Do you think that Jesus was serious when he told us to pray that? I mean, think about that for a moment. But what does this mean? What does it mean for the kingdom of God to come down here? What does that look like? Okay, first, it happened in a part when Jesus physically came, okay? So when people saw Jesus, they experienced the kingdom of God invading earth in the way that he received people and loved people and blessed little children and taught and told the truth, okay? And then he would talk and say things like, this is what life in the kingdom of God is like, and all of like that. Like, that was part of it. But then his plan was for that to happen to you and me and through you and me. In fact, write this down if you're taking notes, okay? The coming of the kingdom of God to earth begins with the transformation of human beings. See, some of us, when we hear, you've heard what I've been saying, the kingdom of God coming down to earth, like you think more of what you would say as a revival, where the Holy Spirit comes or something okay, that's a real thing in times, but that's not what the kingdom of God coming to earth. The kingdom of God coming is through the transformation of human beings, which now impact the kingdom of earth for the kingdom of God. And when this begins to snowball and this begins to happen, we begin to see the kingdom of God here on earth. Transformation of people like you and people like me, as that happens inside of us and moves us, and we begin to act like Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just forgiveness of sins, and it's not just a ticket into heaven when you die. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about the transformation of people, which results in the will and the reign of God being present and alive in this broken and fallen kingdom of earth. Okay, music team, will you please come? Let me just say this right here. Without the message for next week, this morning is in a way going to feel a little bit incomplete, okay? Next week, we are going to dive into a theological term that's known as spiritual formation. Sounds like the lamest thing in the world, okay? But like I'm telling you, I believe that next Sunday is very, very important. In fact, you may be sitting there this morning thinking, like, I don't quite understand what all of this means or why all of this matters. I ran out of time, and I ended up basically splitting today into two, all right? And so next week, we'll fill in a lot of the blanks with some of this. But I do want to end today with kind of a time of prayer and reflection here before we go. And reality for many of us, even most of us here today, is that the kingdom of the earth is so strong in our life, in what we experience, and in what we see every single day, that we find ourselves completely overwhelmed and completely, in a way, influenced by everything that's happening around us. Would you agree? Which is why so many of us, I mean, we walked into this place today and woke up this morning, if you're online, dealing with all sorts of junk from the impact and the effects of the kingdom of the earth that's around you. And so we're dealing with things in our body and in those that you love, terminal stuff, maybe that, you know, stuff, junk in your family, the list goes on. And we walked in, and I'm telling you, as Christians, it can so easily, if we don't understand the kingdom of God coming alive in us and working in us and how that's supposed to impact our life here, when we just begin to hold on to this Jesus thing as nothing but a ticket into heaven, then we really become ineffective here on earth as we are so affected by earth. Okay? I don't know if that made sense. I'm talking a little in circles. But here today, I think what God, in a way, just wants to say to you and to say to me is there is so much more to this than many of us, than most of us, than all of us even understand. And the kingdom of God becoming alive in you, it doesn't mean the kingdom of earth junk disappears. But what it means is we begin to live in a different way. We begin to see things in a different way. We begin to act and help and move. And in a way, the amazing attributes of Jesus, his love, his compassion, the way that he helped people who were hurting, the way that he welcomed people who were outcasts, those things begin to show up and overflow out of our lives. And so today, as here we are in 2020 in the middle of COVID, in the middle of political nastiness, in the middle of racial divide and tension, in the middle of worldwide chaos that is happening everywhere we look, we have an opportunity to step out of that, to rise above, and to really be a light in that situation. If you're here today and you would just say, Pastor Kyle, I want more of that in my life. I want the kingdom of God to begin to change me and move me. If that's you, will you just show me your hand here? God, I pray for all of us right now where that is our desire. God, I pray that this would be, even today, would be a start of something so different as we begin to understand things maybe in a little bit of a different way. God, we pray for the kingdom of God to show up and be alive in every one of our lives, and then in our church, and then in our city, in our nation, in our world, God. God, what America doesn't need right now is just a political system to try to fix us, God, or even a person. What America needs is for the kingdom of God to come down individually through people and that begin to move and work and change things. And so, God, we pray for that. one last thing here kind of before we're done. Maybe you're here today and you have never like started this, okay? Started this relationship with God. Understand, it's more than just the forgiveness of your sins, but that's a massive piece to this as well. As Jesus died for you to start this process of bringing the kingdom of God down. And maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor Kyle, I have never started that. I've never began that journey with Jesus, and I want to do that today. If that's you right now, will you just quickly show me your hand? Just show me your hand. If you're online watching this, okay, you can click on a button that says respond or raise your hand or whatever you're, okay? We want you to respond to that if that's you. But anyone here today would just say, I need to begin this. I need to start this process right now. Just show me your hand. And here's what I want us to do, church. I want everyone who's here today and I want everyone even watching online to just pray this with me. It's not magic words. This is a heart thing between you and God. It's how it starts. But let's just start this by praying together. Pray, Father God, I give you my life and I invite you in. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen. Can we celebrate that, everybody? For anyone who made that decision for the first time, we celebrate with you today. All right, let me pray for us as we're done today. God, I pray that as we walk out these doors this morning, that we would be more aware of you, that we would be more aware of the kingdom of God in our life, changing us and moving us and challenging us to live that out and bring change to this kingdom of earth. God, help us, move us, change us. We give this to you, oh God. And it's in the powerful, life-changing name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, thank you so much for coming today. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, please come and do that. The band's going to play for a minute. The lights will stay down for a moment. Please pray if you'd like. Otherwise, you are dismissed.